More than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
I went to my home and heard that there are aid trucks arriving, so I went to get some for my children, but this is not the way. I wish that it could come through official channels. It would be much better because some people take the aid while others get nothing.
The Gaza ceasefire deal is in effect. Phase one of a U.S.-backed 20-point plan is underway. Hamas has released all 20 remaining living captives. Israel's releasing some 2,000 Palestinians. President Trump has addressed the Israeli Knesset.
Make the best weapons in the world, and we've got a lot of them. And we've given a lot to Israel, frankly. And
Trump's next stop is Egypt. He heads to Sharm el-Sheikh to co-chair a summit with dozens of world leaders, but without Netanyahu. We'll get response from Palestinian writer Ahmed Abu Artima. Israel killed his oldest son Abdullah and five other relatives 2 years ago, and we'll speak to Israeli historian Ilan Pape. His new book, Israel on the Brink, and the eight revolutions that could lead to decolonization and coexistence. Then today is Indigenous Peoples Day. In a TV radio exclusive, we'll speak to award-winning journalist and Oscar-nominated filmmaker Julian Brave Noisecat. His debut memoir, We Survived the Night.
So in August of 1959, my father was found in the trash incinerator at the Indian residential school that my family was sent to near Williams Lake, British Columbia, Canada. And in my first book, We Survived the Night, I try to tell the story of him, myself, and our people across North America, a story of Indigenous love and survival in the wake of genocide.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Hamas has released the remaining 20 living Israeli hostages who've been held in Gaza for the past 2 years. Red Cross vehicles carried the captives from Gaza to Israel. Hamas is also in the process of handing over the bodies of 28 Israeli captives who've been confirmed dead. In exchange, Israel is releasing nearly 2,000 Palestinian prisoners, many of whom had been held without charge. This all comes as part of the first phase of a U.S.-backed 20-point plan. Earlier today, President Trump addressed the Israeli Knesset.
Like the USA right now, it will be the golden age of Israel and the golden age of the Middle East.
A group of leftist Israeli lawmakers briefly interrupted Trump's address by waving a sign calling him to recognize Palestine. Trump heads next to Sharm el-Sheikh, where he and the Egyptian president, Abdel Fattah el-Sisi, will co-host what's being described as a peace summit. Leaders and officials from 27 countries are scheduled to attend. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was invited. First, it was believed he was going, but now it's believed he will not be attending. Celebrations have been held across Israel today as hostages held in Gaza reunite with their families.
I waited for this day so much. 2 years we've been waiting for the hostages to come back home, for the war to stop, for the soldiers to come back home. This is a historic day. This is a happy day. They're coming home.
Meanwhile, Israeli officials have threatened to arrest Palestinians in the occupied West Bank if they celebrate the release of Palestinian prisoners held in Israel. Since the ceasefire began on Friday, tens of thousands of Palestinians have streamed back into northern Gaza to find their old neighborhoods reduced to ruin. New drone footage shows vast areas of northern Gaza where every structure has been destroyed or heavily damaged. In recent days, Palestinians have retrieved more than 295 bodies that have been trapped under the rubble from Israeli attacks. Mahmoud Abu Ameira is a Gaza City resident who returned to find his home destroyed.
This was the most beautiful place, this camp. But now you can see it's rubble, destruction. Life isn't life anymore. We can't find water. We can't find food. We can't find anything to drink. It's like we've gone back to disaster. It's like a nightmare, something you would have never imagined seeing. Tell me, could you ever have imagined this happening to you? I ask myself, no, we never imagined something like this could happen to us. A machine of destruction, a machine of war.
In other news from Gaza, the prominent Palestinian journalist Salah al-Jafarawi was shot dead Sunday by an Israeli-backed Palestinian militia in Gaza City. In other news from Gaza, Drop Site News reports Israeli forces in recent days set fire to civilian infrastructure, including the destruction of an essential sanitation plant in Gaza City. Israel's released the remaining international flotilla passengers who were abducted last week on the high seas while attempting to bring humanitarian aid to Gaza. In total, Israel had detained 145 people aboard the Freedom Flotilla Coalition vessel, the Conscience, and a group of sailboats organized by the Thousand Madleens to Gaza campaign. Major protests in solidarity with Palestine were held over the weekend in many cities, including Sydney, Australia, Oslo, Norway, and in London, where attendees included former Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn.
Many, many question marks over the 20 points that Donald Trump and others have put forward, many of which are very disturbing. But if there's no bombs falling and nobody being killed, then that is, of course, a step forward. But a long-term peace requires the Palestinian people to be involved in deciding their future, not just the USA and Israel.
The federal government's shutdown has entered its 13th day, leaving hundreds of thousands of government workers furloughed or working without pay. Late on Friday, the Trump administration sent layoff notices to more than 1,000 workers at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, though a federal official later told the Washington Post some notices have been sent in error and would be reversed. Among those losing their jobs are scientists working on infectious disease outbreaks, injury prevention, and global health. Separately, the Education Department fired nearly everyone in the Office of Special Education and Rehabilitative Services and in the federal TRIO programs, which help students from disadvantaged backgrounds access higher education. On Friday, President Trump said there'll be even more cuts to the federal workforce in coming days.
How many layoffs have you authorized for this first round, and from which agencies?
And it will be Democrat-oriented, because we figure, you know, they started this thing, so they should be Democrat-oriented. It'll be a lot, and we'll announce the numbers over the next couple of days, but it'll be a lot of people, all because of the Democrats.
Meanwhile, President Trump's directed the Pentagon to issue salaries to military service members. They were due to miss paychecks Wednesday. Most other government workers are not being paid during the shutdown. A federal appeals court has temporarily blocked the Trump administration from deploying National Guard soldiers in Illinois. However, Saturday's ruling by the Seventh Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals allows the Trump administration to continue to federalize the National Guard while the court considers a formal decision. For now, some 500 National Guard soldiers from Illinois and Texas remain stationed at a base about an hour outside Chicago. The Trump administration says it's planning an appeal. On Sunday, Vice President J.D. Vance told me the press, Kirsten Welker, that Trump has not ruled out invoking the Insurrection Act.
So are you seriously considering invoking the Insurrection Act?
Well, the president's looking at all of his options. Right now, he hasn't felt he needed to. But we have to remember, why are we talking about this, Kristen? Because crime has gotten out of control in our cities.
In response, Illinois Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker said President Trump cannot invoke the Insurrection Act to deploy the National Guard to Chicago unless there's an active rebellion underway.
The Insurrection Act is called the Insurrection Act for a reason. There has to be a rebellion. There has to be an insurrection in order for him to be allowed to invoke it. Again, he can say anything he wants, but if the Constitution means anything, and I guess we all are questioning that right now, but the courts will make the determination. If the Constitution means anything, the Insurrection Act cannot be invoked to send them in because they want to fight crime.
Federal authorities have released a TV news producer without charge following her arrest by federal agents in Chicago's Lincoln Square neighborhood Friday. Video shows masked federal agents pinning WGN TV producer Debbie Brockman to the ground, binding her hands behind her back and forcing her into an unmarked vehicle, then sideswiping a nearby car as they sped away. ICE later accused Brockman of throwing objects at a Border Patrol car, but provided no evidence. The arrest appears to directly violate a federal judge's order one day earlier banning federal agents from using riot control weapons and other force against protesters and journalists who are not posing a threat. On Saturday, the Chicago Teachers Union organized a protest dubbed Funds Not Feds outside the Chicago headquarters of Google. They're demanding an end to ICE raids and calling for federal funds to be redirected to schools, healthcare, food assistance, and violence prevention. This is Chicago alderperson Anthony Joel Quezada.
We're also here because we know what we're up against. Donald Trump and his fascist, authoritarian administration are advancing an agenda built on fear and division. They are stripping away healthcare, food access, and housing from those who already struggle the most, like our elders and our working families. They are terrorizing our communities and kidnapping our neighbors. And while they take from the many, they reward the few.
In Oregon, dozens of protesters Saturday rallied outside a federal immigration facility in Portland, demanding an end to Trump's mass deportations and his plans to deploy the National Guard to the city. Many of the protesters wore inflatable costumes mocking Trump's description of Portland as a full-blown war zone.
Yes, we're in costumes to show just how ridiculous that is. It's not a war zone. The only time it's a war zone is when they come down and abuse us protesters out here fighting for our community. As you just witnessed, they come down, they shoot pepper balls, they grab people.
I'm here tonight because this is literally actually bananas. Like, that we have these guys in full military uniforms, costumes basically, coming out because the president of the United States, the highest office that we used to all have respect for, is saying that this is a war-torn, blown-out building.
In news from Sudan, at least 60 people were killed Saturday when drone and artillery strikes by the paramilitary Rapid Support Forces hit a camp for displaced people in the besieged city of El Fasher in North Darfur. The dead included at least 17 children, including a seven-day-old infant. Last week, the RSF shelled a maternity ward of one of the last remaining hospitals in El Fasher, killing 13 people. More than 12 million people have been displaced by Sudan's civil war, which has triggered widespread famine, making it one of the worst humanitarian crises of the 21st century. President Trump is threatening to send long-range Tomahawk missiles to Ukraine if Russian President Vladimir Putin doesn't agree to a settlement to end the war. Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov responded to Trump's threat by expressing extreme concern. He said, quote, "Now is really a very dramatic moment in terms of the fact that tensions are escalating from all sides," unquote. This comes as the Financial Times has revealed the U.S. has been secretly sharing intelligence to help Ukraine target Russian energy facilities far beyond the front lines. Meanwhile, Russia continues to target Ukraine's energy grid as winter approaches. According to Ukrainian officials, Russia launched more than 3,100 drones, 92 missiles, and around 1,360 glide bombs over the past week. Madagascar's president says he's resisting an attempt by the army to seize power by force. On Sunday, a renegade army unit said it had taken command of all branches of the military, while an increasing number of soldiers are joining youth-led anti-government protests demanding the ouster of President André Rajoelina, who came to power in a 2009 coup that toppled Madagascar's previous president. Trade tensions are escalating again between the United States and China. On Friday, President Trump threatened to impose a 100% tariff on Chinese products starting November 1st and new export limits on, quote, any and all critical software. A day earlier, China had announced a plan to restrict access to rare earth minerals. The UN Security Council held an emergency meeting Friday at the request of Venezuela to discuss escalating U.S. military activity in the Caribbean. In recent weeks, the U.S. blew up four boats, claiming they were carrying drugs. Venezuela's UN ambassador, Samuel Moncada, warned the U.S. may be preparing to invade Venezuela.
Las acciones y la retórica guerrerista.
The belligerent action and rhetoric of the U.S. government objectively point to the fact that we are facing a situation in which it is rational to anticipate that in very short term, an armed attack is to be perpetrated against Venezuela.
In other news on Venezuela, this year's Nobel Peace Prize winner announced Friday, Venezuelan opposition leader Maria Corina Machado has dedicated her prize to President Donald Trump for, quote, his decisive support of our cause, unquote. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton has brought felony charges against eight people linked to a midwife accused of performing abortions in violation of Texas state law. In a statement, Paxton called the eight a, quote, cabal of abortion-loving radicals and fake doctors, unquote. This comes after Houston midwife Maria Rojas became the first person criminally charged under Texas's new laws outlawing virtually all abortions. In response, Rojas's lawyer told CNN, quote, Paxton heartlessly shut down several clinics that provided lawful, affordable services to families around Houston, most of whom were low-income, uninsured immigrants with few options for health care, unquote. And in Tennessee, investigators say 16 people are confirmed dead following a massive explosion at a munitions plant Friday. The blast left the rural factory in ruins and rattled homes more than 15 miles away. The cause of the disaster is under investigation. The Accurate Energetic Systems plant was under federal contract to produce bulk explosives and landmines for the U.S. Army and Navy. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The Gaza ceasefire deal is in effect. Phase one of the U.S.-backed 20-point plan is underway. Hamas has released all 20 remaining living hostages who'd been held in Gaza for the past 2 years. Red Cross vehicles carried the captives from Gaza to Israel. Hamas is also in the process of handing over the bodies of 28 Israeli captives who have been confirmed dead. In exchange, Israel's releasing nearly 2,000 Palestinians detained in Israeli prisons, many of whom have been held without charge. Sources told Al Jazeera Israeli forces have fired smoke bombs at journalists around Ofer Prison, where Palestinians were freed. Israel's warned Palestinians in the occupied West Bank against celebrating their release. This all comes as part of the first phase of a U.S.-backed 20-point plan. Today, President Trump joined Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in addressing the Israeli Knesset. First, Prime Minister Netanyahu.
Move the world so quickly, so decisively, so resolutely as our friend President Donald J. Trump. With our military pressure and President Trump's global leadership, we achieved this historic moment. It's a moment of indescribable joy.
As President Trump addressed the Israeli Knesset, a group of leftist Israeli lawmakers briefly interrupted him by waving a sign calling him to recognize Palestine.
Everybody loves Steve, and they respect him. And they somehow can relate to him. I've known him for many years, and I've seen it over again. That was very efficient.
At one point, President Trump claimed the Gaza ceasefire will mark the beginning of a golden age for Israel and the Middle East.
I can tell you we have weapons that nobody's ever dreamt of. I only hope we never have to use them. I rebuilt the military. I was proud to do it. But some of the things I hated to do, I hated certain of the weapons because the level of power is so enormous. It's so dangerous, so bad. But we have to do what we have to do. We make the best weapons in the world, and we've got a lot of them. And we've given a lot to Israel, frankly. And
Trump heads next to Egypt, where he's co-chairing a summit in Sharm el-Sheikh with Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi. Leaders from at least 27 countries are set to attend, but Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu said today he declined Trump's invitation, citing the Jewish holidays. Meanwhile, in Gaza, Drop Site News reports after Trump's announcement of the Gaza deal Thursday, the Israeli military, quote, launched an arson spree, setting fire to civilian infrastructure, including the destruction of an essential sanitation plant in Gaza City, unquote. For more, we begin with Ahmed Abu Artima, Palestinian writer and human rights activist. We had him on Democracy Now 2 years ago, shortly after Israel killed his eldest son, Abdullah, and five other relatives in Gaza. Ahmed and several other family members were injured in that attack. He was one of the organizers of the nonviolent 2018 Great March of Return. He was recently able to leave Gaza and is joining us now from Amsterdam. Welcome back to Democracy Now! Ahmed, it's great to have you here. As we broadcast, Reuters is showing Khan Yunis live, buses arriving with prisoners. They already arrived in the West Bank. And, of course, just a few hours before this, Hamas released the 20 live hostages. Can you respond to everything that has taken place so far?
Thank you, Amy, for having me. It's my honor to be with you. Today is an important day in Gaza and in Palestine in general. We finally saw the exchange of prisoners, and the people in Gaza hope this can lead to ending the horrible genocide which continued for 2 years. Finally, about 2,000 of the Palestinian prisoners returned back to their home, to their families, and there are still in the Israeli prisons more than 9,000 Palestinian prisoners. This is important to mention as we see how Trump and the Israeli government and the pro-Israel media focus on the 20 hostages, 20 Israeli hostages, and their humanity and all the details, but no one talk about the tragedy of the Palestinian prisoners. There are about 11,000 Palestinian prisoners, about 3,500 of them are in the Israeli prisons with no trial, with no charge. They are subjugated to inhumane conditions, medical neglect, very horrible situation, but no one talk about them. And this is the essence of the problem. The essence of the problem, dehumanizing us, dehumanizing the Palestinians. They always talk about the issue of the Israeli hostages, and they have to return to their home. But what about the Palestinians? What about 2 million of the people in Gaza live a catastrophic, complete catastrophic situation? The people in Gaza, including me, lost everything. We lost our beloved ones. We lost our houses. We lost everything. It sounds like there are people deserve life, Israelis, and there are people don't deserve life in the perspective of Trump and the perspective of this colonial Israeli government. Yes, the people in Gaza need any opportunity to stop the daily massacres, which continues for 2 years. In the same time, we cannot say we are happy. We are happy because we lost everything. The situation in Gaza is catastrophic. And Israel itself, until now, doesn't talk about ending the genocide. The Israeli war minister wrote a tweet that they will return to destroy the tunnels after the hostages return back to their homes. So the situation in Gaza, the people finally feel very little rest, that they can sleep without feeling that their tents, their places may be targeted any time. But in the same time, the catastrophe in Gaza is beyond words, indescribable. So we cannot say today, as Trump said, that the time of peace will start. This is completely wrong. We cannot talk about peace. Which peace they talk about when the injustice is still continuing, when the violations against the Palestinians, the dehumanization, the denial of their very basic rights are still. I think any talk about peace, when it's not be based on the justice and in ending on ending the injustice, it will not be last and stable for a long time.
I just wanted to point out 20 Israeli hostages, all of them, have been released. And now Hamas, over the next days, apparently, is going to release the remains of hostages who have died. I'm just looking at a report back last year from the from a Palestinian advocacy group that says 198 Palestinians who were killed in 2024, Israel is continuing to hold their bodies. Was there any discussion of the release of the dead Palestinians as there was of the dead Israelis?
Exactly. This is the problem. The problem no one talk about. Actually, we have thousands and tens of thousands and maybe hundreds of thousands of tragic stories as Palestinians. No one talk about them. No one care about them because they only care about the 20 live Israeli hostages or other dozens of the dead Israelis. This is the double standards. This means that they don't look to us as Palestinians that we have rights, we have our humanity. This is one story, the story of the dead Palestinians that Israel is keeping them. What about also the thousands of the prisoners, about 400 children inside the Israeli prisons. Imagine that Israel made big propaganda around the world about the monsters of the Palestinian monsters who took the children. What about the 400 children are now in the Israeli prisons? What about the 2 million? What about the 20,000? Palestinian children were murdered in Gaza, including my son Abdullah. What about the 2 million people in Gaza? They are deprived from everything. Their houses were completely destroyed. No one in Gaza didn't affect severely in this Israeli genocide.
Ahmed, we don't have much time, but I wanted to ask, do you hold out any hope for this summit? They're calling it a peace summit in Sharm el-Sheikh, which President Trump is going to co-chair with the Egyptian president, with dozens of world leaders there. What do you want to see happen there?
Yes, the first or the important sign already came that